As we know, fruit comes in different shapes and sizes. Some are spherical, like oranges, blueberries, grapes. Others are oblong, like mangoes and papayas. There's the smile shape of a banana and the unique dimpled shape globe of an apple. Some farmers, though, are challenging all of our assumptions about the shape of fruit. Watermelons, for example, no longer need to be the round oblong shape that people of my generation are familiar with. You can go right to the right fruit market and find a square watermelon grown by botanical artists. I've been served heart-shaped cucumbers at a restaurant due to the produce shaping of a farmer. Sandy Lipsky, could you come up here for a minute, please? I need your assistance. One agricultural virtuoso has developed a process where pears that have long been pear-shaped can now arrive at your farmer's market in the shape of a little Buddha. Sandy, would you please hold this piece of paper that will show that this is true? Because I got it off the internet. Here we go. Yes, you could. I want people to see pears shaped like little Buddhas. So one agricultural virtuoso has developed a process where pears, long pear shape, can now arrive in your market in the shape of a little Buddha. The arms and facial features are so well defined that the Buddha appears to be in a prayer-like meditative state. Big hands for Sandy Lipsky, please. No, you get to keep it. You get to be the fact checker, and if people really want to confirm the veracity of the statement, you're on it. Now, here's what happens with these fruits. They look like beautiful little sculptures, carvings, but no knives are used to create them. The pears are grown this way. To grow square watermelons and Buddha-shaped pears, farmers use specially developed molds that they attach to the fruit when it first appears, and as the young fruit matures, it grows into the mold, taking on the shape of that tool. Now, because of our proximity to one of the major fruit-producing regions in our country, we understand how this works. We appreciate, we Southwest Michiganders, the challenges of producing fruit. So for those who simply go to the grocery store and pick up whatever they like, those folks might not be aware of the process. Unfortunately, there is no market where we can acquire the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Remember the guidance of the Apostle Paul this morning in the lesson that was so beautifully read to us. These are not personality traits or characteristics. They are the full bloom evidence that the Spirit dwells within us. So the market for these fruits is life itself. Amen? Ordinary pears, watermelons, blueberries, apples, and other fruit, they consume a great deal of labor. Seeds are planted, trees are pruned, weeds are removed, plants are watered, pests are treated. Farmers take great care to ensure that the plants have all they need to produce beautiful, delicious fruit. Then there's the waiting. Trees and plants take time to grow, buds slowly appear, and fruit grows and matures over many days, many nights. Successful growers need both hard work and patience to bring the fruit to market. So we would often like this fruit of the Spirit to appear instantaneously in our lives, making us, for example, more joy-filled, more generous people. That's what we want. Instead, the fruit of the Spirit requires us to become more like the farmers who surround us in this region. More patient, working the soil of our lives to recognize the condition for the fruits of joy and generosity to be grown within us. If someone prays for patience, do we think that God just sends them patience, prime customer, overnight through Amazon? Thank you, Howard. Or do you think that God gives them the opportunity to be patient? Sometimes over and over again. If someone yearns to be joy-filled, does God wave a magic wand and just download a bucket of happiness? Or does God provide circumstance after challenge in addition to fielding constant complaint in order for that particular person to choose joy? Perhaps multiple opportunities to choose joy instead of choosing bitterness. If someone asks for their family to be closer or their friends to stop bickering, do you really think that God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does God give them opportunities to love each other? Is God always presenting us with an opportunity to grow this fruit in our lives? Like the farmer who waters the plants, is God providing our souls with times of spiritual refreshment, like worship, like this, scripture reading, Tuesday Vespers, sung music, and other prayer forms in our lives? Remember that farmers prune, weed, and treat pests, too. Yes, we're going there. Likewise, perhaps, we are presented with choices to remove from our lives anything that is counterproductive to our growth as disciples of Jesus Christ. Like a farmer works the soil, we need to consider the openness of our own heart, the openness of our own mind, to consider what new growth God might bring us and how we might blossom with the fruit of the Spirit. Are we known for our joy and our kindness, or are we known for our pettiness and our complaints? Do others tell stories about our love and our generosity, or not? When we are remembered fondly, is it because of our gentleness and our self-control, or do we just simply let people have it? They have it coming anyway. There's a choice here. We become growers of spiritual fruit as we participate in making the conditions right to allow the fruit of the Spirit to grow within us. We must then be diligent in doing our part in watering, weeding, and working in the orchard of our lives. We do not work to earn the fruit. Rather, we enter into this process to make the conditions right for God to produce the fruit within us. So the question for all of us this morning is, what are the conditions you are giving God to work with these days? Are you making room for God to do wonderful work within you? Because this text is talking about Jesus' fruit. It is fundamentally different from other fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control are not necessarily unique to Christianity. Jesus' fruit, on the other hand, is. It is the product, quite clearly in the text, of freedom, not restriction. Today's text is about how the church, we, not just me, we, all of us, as a community, it's about the freedom that we all have in Christ. And the Apostle Paul is so excited to talk about this freedom that if you read the Greek, he awkwardly introduces the topic by telling us that we have been set free for freedom. The repetition of the word free is used for emphasis in this chapter of Galatians. Paul wants us to know that we are not simply being squeezed into a law, squeezed into a rule, squeezed into a mold. Instead, we have been set free to be fundamentally different. Okay? I need 3 helpers, please, because I've been told I cannot move with the microphone. Howard, you're going to volunteer right now. Howard, Russ, Ivan, come on over. I need you to pass these out while I finish the sermon. Ivan, please pass these out. Russ, please allow people to grab one of these apples out of the bag. Allow people to take one of those apples out of the bag. Don't hand it to them in the age of COVID. But go ahead and distribute the fruit among all. Make sure to get the people in the back. People in the back, Howard. The fruit of the Spirit. The freedom that we exercise as the children of God, sons and daughters and children of God, is a freedom that is redeemed and renewed by Jesus Christ. And this freedom is not to do whatever we want, contrary to what others on the Christian tree might think. The freedom is to be the good creatures God created us to be. We exercise our freedom in the context that we know deeply. We know deeply the kind of life that God intends. We have been set free to live the lives shaped by the Jesus fruit of the Spirit. It is Christ himself that allows us to be free. And we participate in our freedom by cooperating with the farmer, making the conditions right in our heart, in our mind, putting ourselves in environments, tilling the soil to make the conditions right, to allow God to produce the fruit of the Spirit within us. And when God does this, we get to live a life like no other, a life of knowing who we are and whose we are. You have been set free to break out of the mold and to become the person God created you to be, and to create a vision of the kind of life that God intends to be everywhere here in Kalamazoo. Amen?